Welcome to Real Deal Recovery, where the focus is topic-based and centered on physical and emotional recovery from drugs and alcohol or any other self-destructive behavior. Here's your host, Stephen Gerard.
Hello from New York City. Today our topic is working with others, and our guest is a power of example for those of you in early recovery. You see, our guest does not have decades of recovery, yet he's actively involved in working with others, so it's great to have him with us today to share his experience, strength, and hope on this topic, and to hear how working with others has influenced his recovery and life. Jesse's joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. Jesse, welcome to Real Deal Recovery. Great to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate it.
You know, before we get to our topic, could you take us through your last year of drinking and drugging and your first year of recovery?
Absolutely. So my last year kind of looks like this. I toured in a band for a long time and kind of struggled with drugs and alcohol for, I don't know, 20 plus years. But every time that I would go out on the road, I was kind of really heavy into opiates the last couple of years there, probably the last 8 years anyways. But the last time that I went out was January of 2012. And, you know, I had been using opiates and smoking some G here and there and smoking weed and doing a lot of things. So my health was really bad, you know, and I cleaned up last time because I went out with tour with my brother. He was doing a 311 tour, opening up for them. And I cleaned up in the last – so the first 3 or 4 days were me just being constipated. I went to the bathroom in a week or something like that. So it's the constant sweats, you know, insomnia, can't sleep. And then also, too, trying to play it off like as if, you know, everything's okay. You know, I'm just dehydrated. You know, I'm sick because I'm also trying to cover up my addiction as well. And so got through that hump and we did about a month tour in January of 2012. And I really thought that I had it licked, you know, but the reality is that being honest with myself back, looking back on it and definitely back then is that I couldn't stop thinking about just waiting to get back home and get high. And, so I cleaned up, got out of that bump that first week of like withdrawal and detox. And then, on the way home, not even 2 or 3 days, I was already setting it up to where I was going to have like a little coming home party and just, you know, get me some handful of 30s or some sort. And sure enough, when I got back home, I picked it up and I ran it from January 2012 until I went into detox on August 29th. So in that time, you know, multiple visits to the hospital. I was on Xannies as well. So I just end up in the hospital with having such bad seizures. I wouldn't even know how I got there. And then also too, robbing people, getting robbed, you know, the nodding out in the parking lots, not picking my daughter up from school. I mean, it went on and on and on. And the last week, pretty much was turning point for me was, I was dealing with a bunch of people, man, hustling and stuff. Just, you know, we were all not good individuals. But my daughter is about 17 years old, and I was out in Buckeye. And I had been dealing with a bunch of people that just were no good. We were out just doing licks, robbing people, getting robbed. And my daughter hit me up, and she says, "Dad." Now, I never had nobody come to my house. She says, "Dad, there's 4 guys outside the house with guns." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And sure enough, I look outside my door and there's 4 dudes outside my house with straps. And obviously I'm scared, but looking in her eyes, you know, the fear of death and also, too, knowing that, you know, this is how far my addiction had went. And this was like the first time where it really become apparent to me, man, that my drug addiction was actually putting people at risk now. So this was a whole nother level that I just wasn't used to. And I came to my family like in the next couple of days, because I mean, you know, I've been dying, you know, went to the hospital. They told me, you know, my pancreas was inflamed. I had really bad insides. I already had a bunch of surgeries on my kidneys and I ended up coming to them saying, I need help. And, of course, my brother being on the road with me, everything's like, "Thank God, it's about time." Jeez, man. I mean, how long were you to beat that up? And sure enough, I went through and I checked myself into a place down here called Community Bridges here in Phoenix and went through the whole crisis area, you know, where you got to go through like an intake to see if you get into detox. And then got in there finally after about 30 hours. And then that was the first time that was ever kind of introduced to me. They planted the seed about, you know, hey, man, have you ever heard of AA? Have you heard the 12 steps? And I was like, I don't know what any of that is. My father was a minister growing up, so I knew a lot about God, my belief at that point, and it wasn't too much. I had mixed feelings on it all. And they said, you need to get a sponsor. You're going to have to work the steps, and you're going to have to hit meetings, and you have to do a lot of these things if you want to have a chance to stay sober and clean. And sure enough, I went through the detox, and then they asked me if I wanted to do outpatient or inpatient. And I knew myself well enough to know that outpatient was not going to be a good option for me hitting the street again. I just knew for without a doubt, man, that I was going to get high or get loaded. I just still was on that daily deal. And they kind of gave me some Subutex in there, so that made me feel better for the time being. And I started hitting meetings. It's the first meeting that I ever identify as an addict. At that point, I identify as an alcoholic because I hadn't drank in a couple of years, really. And I thought that I just had that licked. But I never drank, you know, properly. I was always drinking alcohol since a young age. And then I heard about this place called Crossroads here in Phoenix, and they had inpatient. It was like a 30-day program. And, you know, they ran you through some classes, and then you hit meetings every day, chores, different things. And I was like, okay, sounds cool. And it was like $945 back then for like about 21 days, which is extremely cheap. And sure enough, I went in there, and that's when I got introduced to the program. I wasn't really hip to it off the first week. I was kind of like, you know what? I'm good. I got this. I'm going to go smoke some weed. I'm going to go hang out after this. I got all this other stuff licked. And after about 5 days in there, you know, people laughing at me, you know, because it's what we do. You're like, oh, you got this. You're good to go. Okay. Yeah. And sure enough, man, I went through the whole deal, and I heard a kid speak at a meeting, and he's about 20 years old, and I was about 38. And he had about 9 months clean, and shot heroin for about 5 years, and identified with a lot of the things he was saying. And sure enough, after that, I was like, hey, man, will you like sponsor me? And he's like, yeah, are you willing to be honest, man? Go to any length, a couple different things. And I was like, yeah. And I go, I don't know what it is, bro, but I know for sure that you got something I want, man. And that's that you're happy, you're free, you come down here. You're always telling people you love them, don't even know them. You're 20 years old. I don't get that at all. And because I'm 38 and I've been trying to lick this my whole life. And sure enough, he ended up taking me on. And I told him, man, I'm going to do this like I did the dope. I'm going to do this like I did the hustle. I really believe it's a sham. And I don't believe it one bit, you know what I mean? But I'm willing to do anything at this point because everything else I've done has failed. And sure enough, man, I started going through the steps. And about somewhere in the middle of the steps, man, something happened, man. And for the first time in a long time, after probably doing my inventory, I felt okay, man. And I felt that I wasn't alone. I had a lot of stuff on my chest from when I was a kid that I was able to, like, release. And we shared stories. And somewhere along that line, man, I woke up, man, and that obsession, man, was removed from me. And for the first time in a long time, I didn't want to get high when I woke up. And I was absolutely just shocked. And I didn't know what it was all about, but looking back on it, you know, it was probably a spiritual awakening or experience. And then I kind of went through the whole process, cleaned up some amends, made amends with my daughter. You know what I mean? That, you know, those guys were there to rob me. Your dad's been a drug dealer for 10 plus years. And, you know, them times that I didn't pick you up from school, you know, dad was nodding out in the parking lot, you know, because I was on so many drugs. And then, you know, the eighth grade graduation pictures that we have and everything. Yeah, well, dad was doing lines in the bathroom at your elementary. I mean, I really cleaned up my stuff, and I came clean with everything, so we knew where we stand. And I got a lot of freedom out of that. And I found a God of my understanding through the whole process. And that's a beautiful thing of the program is that's exactly what it is. It's yours and yours alone, and it's something sacred. And I always tell people, don't let nobody mess with that. It's something that you have to at some point or another, tap into. And it absolutely changed my life, man. And I found a purpose in AA. I started working at that facility and kind of hit the gas running, man. And started picking up some sponsees, commitments, service work, and kind of had my trials in and out at a first year and got disconnected a little bit. And had one of my roommates relapse, and he was smoking trays at the house. Things were weird. And then the next thing you know, I wasn't praying on a daily basis, wasn't meditating, had a girlfriend, everything was going great. We were going to get married, you know, the whole deal. And then sure enough, I hit him up and I was like, dude, this is rough. You know what I mean? I was really resentful. I was really disconnected. And I was looking for answers. And I called him up and he goes, yeah, dude, you know, when are you going to come down here? I haven't heard from you in a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, man. Have you been praying? Have you been meditating? You've been hitting meetings. And I was like, no, no, no. And then I was kind of like, dude, do you hear what I said? I'm going to have to get a new sponsor, man. You're just not hearing me, bro. I told you my roommate is smoking trays and he's got prostitutes coming out of the house, man. This is a whole nother level. And sure enough, he told me, you know, sounds like you need to work with some other alcoholics and addicts. And for some reason or another, I got off the phone all pissed off and sat there for a minute. And I look at it now, it's like the grace of God is that I got on my bicycle and I rode down to that treatment facility. I ended up picking up a couple guys that night. And when I did sit down with them new guys, once again, I had that feeling, man, and it was working for me when everything else wasn't. And more importantly, man, I was able to identify how far out of the loop and how close I was to getting loaded at that point. And I started to recognize a lot of my behaviors. And then I went back through the steps. And I've been running since. So currently, I mean, I got over 10 sponsees. I got service commitments, service work, and outside of recovery too as well, I've grown. So that's pretty much it.
You know, what's great about this podcast is so oftentimes I've heard over the years people say, well, I don't have long-term time or I don't have 5 years, so I shouldn't be working with someone. And you're a real power of example in that respect. So that's what makes this a great podcast. It sounded like this was great advice you got from your sponsor to help others. Gather you've taken other men through the steps. How has taking other men through the steps shaped your understanding and application of the steps?
For me, that's a whole nother experience. You know, bringing somebody or guiding somebody through the steps, every time that I go through this book with every guy that I work with, I'm able to tap into all types of different things, different readings, and be able to share with my hope, my strength, and my experience. But also too is, you know, what it was like and what happened, what it's like now. And it always, for me, it's always a learning experience. You know, every story is a little bit different. And more importantly is I know at some point or another, I can help this dude. And in that process, he'll help me as well. I mean, as it says, you know, sometimes they help us more than we help them. But, you know, I don't know if that's true all the time. But for me, it's absolutely, for me, I've just learned so much bringing guys through the steps. When I was just kind of hitting meetings and doing just the regular basic minimums, I really didn't put my hands around working with others and what the importance of it was. But I mean, as they say, you know, it shouldn't be missed. And I absolutely try to smash that home is that for me is where the real dope is. You know, this is what takes me out of myself. That whole unselfish giving of the program, man, became a working part of my life, man. And, I was able to have so much clarity and so much freedom in that, man, just being able to sit down with a dude and know that, you know what, I'm gonna check out for a minute, bro. Let's do you for a second. And let me see how I can help you. And ultimately, man, I'm really blessed to be able to be in a spot where I can be available like that. So.
Now, are you working with the same sponsor you started with, or are you working with someone else right now?
No, yeah. Initially, I had my first sponsor for, in August, I'll have 4 years. So my first sponsor I had for about 3 years. He kind of took a break off here and there and just wasn't doing a whole lot of recovery. And I was. We were still in contact, but I grabbed a couple temporary sponsors after about a year and a half, just guys that were like spiritual advisors for me. And then I kind of looked for a new sponsor at some point. But, you know, that was a tough struggle, too, because, you know, as I say, you know, this dude like fed me Gerber food, man, and nursed me along, man, when I was just like super lost, man, and super hopeless. So I had this loyalty towards him, man, that I just didn't want to hurt him. And I felt like I owed it to him to stick with him. But the reality was is that that's absolutely what it wasn't. You know, my brain tricks myself sometimes, but I ended up picking up a new sponsor about 9 months ago. He's got about 12 years, and I've learned more this time through, man, than I ever have, which is a beautiful deal. So I always tell people, you know, for me, man, if your sponsor's not picking up the phone or if things are not connecting, man, go get a new guy. I've got a bunch of guys that I used to work with that work with, like, friends of mine, and I'm happy for them. Get it wherever you can get it. And, And sure enough, I have a beautiful relationship with my sponsor now, and I still am really good friends with my old sponsor, so it's a beautiful deal.
How has taking others to the steps influenced your work with the sponsor that you have now?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, every time that I go through the steps, it can be a little bit different. Some people would have you do packets. Some people have you do like a certain amount of questions. And this last time, reason why I picked my sponsor currently is because he comes from a really good lineage. And I wanted to kind of get closer to the roots of how they actually went through the steps initially way back in the day. And this time through, I actually got really close to that, man. So it's absolutely changed my sponsorship in so many different ways. I mean, I've done workshops since then, and I do step studies, and it's able to allow me to be able to share, you know, my process of going through the steps this last time around, and really bring a lot more to the table. And I can't tell you how much I've grown here in the last year, because it's just it's crazy to me the amount of things that I already thought I knew at 3 years, and then coming back and going, wow, dude, it's just never ending process. But it's helped me like 10 times over. My sponsorship has become like 10 times stronger as a result of that. So
the old timers told me when I got clean and sober in Seattle, they said, look, don't worry about working these steps to perfection, because you're going to be working them the rest of your life anyway. And I just took someone through a 4-step last week, and I couldn't believe all the new meaning that I was getting out of doing I did a 4-step in conjunction with him, and I couldn't believe how much it helped me. Yeah. How has working with others what has your experience been in watching the transformation of others as you've taken them through the steps?
The question again?
What's your experience been in watching the transformation of others as you've guided them through the steps?
That's the miracle of it, right? Mm-hmm. To watch somebody go from straight off the block, or watch somebody come straight out of prison, or somebody struggling with drugs or alcohol for 10 or 15 years to absolutely go from zero, sometimes below that, if you want to just a figure of speech, to just living a healthy life, man, and being happy and free. And I don't know anything else like it. I've never witnessed anything like it. Mm-hmm. I never have in my life, man. It's something beautiful to me, man, and it's really hard for some people to put their hands around if you've never experienced it. But boy, when you have, man, it's just I'm very proud. You know, one of my sponsors just got 2 years today, and he just hit me up this morning, and he's got a promotion. He moved out to LA and things. But I just like, you know, he absolutely is one of those guys who was like, you know, just hasn't been working in years, put a resume together, socially was awkward, a bunch of things. And you know what? He lives a beautiful life now, man. And I absolutely can't. I just, for me, man, there's nothing. That's nothing short of a miracle. I've never felt something like that in my life. So
you've touched on it a bit, but how has working with others helped you in the other areas of your life?
Yeah, for me, man, that whole drastic self-appraisal, man, and me really working on myself and digging deep with my sponsor. You know, every time that I work with a guy, you know, I always try to say, you know, working with others has really brought a lot of attention to my behavior and my character defects, and also to the work that I need to do as well. It's very hard for me to tell some guy to like, hey, give me a call tomorrow, you know, meditate, pray, do this work, do that work, and do all this, when I'm not really doing that, or I'm not practicing that. I become some sort of a hypocrite at some point. And I did do that in my early recovery. And I remember just not knowing it at that time, but I was taking a hit, you know, I was blocked off from the spirit. So it's absolutely on my side of it. It's the whole accountability and recognizing my behavior and being conscious of it, man. And it's allowed me to really like get to the roots in that and really work on it and grow. And I'm just, I'm really grateful, you know, because without that, sometimes I can get lost in the shuffle. So
Jesse, what would you tell the person who says, I don't have enough time to help, I couldn't be of help to someone else? What would you tell that person?
Yeah, I always say, you know, well, you know, I get that answer a lot, you know, well, I'm busy. And I'm like, well, you're busy? My thing is that you can't never shuffle your recovery. You know, everything that we have in life, man, is a result of us getting our act together. And if you did go through the steps, then that's partly the reason why. And it's only right at some point or another to give that gift back that was so freely given to you. And if I say that, you know, if you don't have time, my question is always, well, what if your sponsor didn't have time to come down here and sit with you? Would you be where you were at? You know, you know, and that's the reality of it. Some guys, I know some pretty hardcore dudes that always say, you know, if you go through the steps and you're not giving back that gift and you're robbing, you're from stealing from AA. I don't know if to go to that far, but, you know, it made sense to me that, you know, what's it say about me if I don't sit down with the next man like my sponsor sat down with me? You know, my sponsor came down there 3 times a week, rode the bus, told me he loved me when he didn't even know me. And, you know, Bob's Nightmare kind of shares on that, the 4 reasons why we do this. And, you know, that's really my whole deal is that, you know, I'm just giving back the gift that was so freely given to me. In doing so, you know, I'm taking out insurance on a possible slip down the road, you know, get a sense of joy. And I'm a soldier for this deal. I think that, you know, if we're not giving back, then there is no gift there, you know, and you're only at some point, you know, that whole unselfish process that we're trying to get a hold of, it's just not there. So,
Jesse, I have one last question, and that is, what's your take on the adage, when all else fails, work with another?
Well, yeah, I mean, just my story a little bit. You heard a little bit about how when everything was failing and my sponsor suggested for me to go down to the grocers, and I was like, you know, I'm going to have to find a new sponsor. I don't know what you're talking about. You just didn't hear what I said. And sure enough, I found that in my recovery over the years that the one thing that does work when everything else fails is me sitting down with another alcoholic and addict. And put my hands around it a little bit is that, you know, my struggles, you know, like, wow, my job, you know, and I don't have a lot of money, and then my daughter, and then, you know, my family, and this and this, and they seem big things to me. Then I go sit down with another alcoholic or addict, and this guy's like, you know, getting ready to leave treatment. He's got 2 days clean and he can't stop thinking about shooting dope. And immediately it takes me out of myself to be like, gosh, man, but you know, it's always selfish and self-centered. It's like, wow, am I really struggling? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not, man. Not like that. I mean, God's sakes. So, it's just absolutely, you know, been that one thing, man, that I know that absolutely works without a doubt. I don't even question it no more. I'm not, but you know, I know I tell guys, you know, if you're struggling, man, go work with another alcoholic addict, man. Within a matter of minutes, man, I'm positive you'll probably be able to help him. And more importantly, you'll get out of yourself for a moment. Now, is it going to come back? Well, that's completely up to you and the work that you do after that. But you know what I mean? For that time being, I absolutely know that it's absolutely saved my life in many situations.
You know, Jesse, I'm all fired up. Thank you so much for showing up for this podcast today. You're certainly a power of example. Thanks again.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Stephen Gerard is available for sober coaching and consulting. Just visit realdealrecoverypod.com. That's realdealrecoverypod.com and the Work With Me tab. Make a decision to change your life.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you find this content of value and you'd like to have the podcast delivered directly to your device, please rate, review, and subscribe over on iTunes. This way, each new pod will be delivered directly to you and you won't have to go looking for it. We have some new blogs that may be of interest to you, and you can find those over at www.realdealrecoverypod.com. If you'd like to get a hold of me for any reason, or you'd like to suggest a topic, or if you have any questions pertaining to recovery, you can reach me directly at realdealrecoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's realdealrecoverypodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for tuning in. And remember, recovery is not a spectator sport. Get in the